Okay, did everybody read and study their lesson? All right. Somewhere in here. Yeah, well, there we go. All right, before we get to where we read, at the beginning of this lesson, God is highly aggravated. I mean, he's mad. And with good reason. When God sent all those plagues to Pharaoh and to the Egyptians, you know, to get them to let the people go, he didn't send those plagues to the Israelis. I mean, when it was dark in Egypt, it was light in Goshen. Now, does anybody know what that final plague he sent was to the Egyptians? That was the death to the firstborn, and that's what made Pharaoh let them go. But when the Israelis, you know, they went, I think the Egyptians even gave them jewelry to help finance the trip. But when they got so far out and realized that Pharaoh had changed his mind and was chasing after them, what do you think they did? They complained. Why do we have to die here? We could have stayed in Egypt where, you know, we were at least alive. Well, what happened when Pharaoh's army was almost caught up with them?
There were delays.
Okay, but here they are. They've got a sea in front of them. Oh, here comes the army. We've got the sea in front of us. Yeah, we're done for. So what happened? God parted the sea, and they walked across on dry land. And what happens when Pharaoh's army shows up? That's right, and all the horses and the riders and everybody. So then, of course, they rejoiced and danced and had a good time. Then as they're traveling on, manna falls from the sky. And I don't know about you guys, but if dinner falls from the sky, I'm going to be thrilled. If dinner falls from the sky for 30 days in a row, I'm going to think I'm going to be thrilled. And I really, in my mind, would like to know what manna tastes like. I keep thinking manna's just got to be the most glorious tasting food ever. But after a while, guess what they did? They complained, we don't have any meat. So God sends them quail, and they overeat, and they get sick, and some of them even die. Well, and there was a miracle where there was bitter water. God made it sweet. When Moses goes up in the mountain to get the Ten Commandments, after he's gone just a little while, you know, they start murmuring, but by the time he's been gone, you know, 40 days, they're out and out complaining. We don't have Moses. So what else do you think they do besides their complaining?
Something to worship. We need something to.
That's exactly right. So they made the golden calf, and they said, "This is the God that brought us out of Egypt." So, needless to say, Moses got mad and broke the tablet with the Ten Commandments on it and had to go back and get another one. So now the spies go in to look at the promised land, and what did they see?
Giants.
And some of them are so big, they figure they're probably Nephilim? Susie, do you know that word? The Nephilim, I don't know what the word is, but anyway, it was when the angels came down here and made it, and they created giants. Anyway, these people were so big that they think they might be some of them. So some of them want to stone, I got to think of who it is, Caleb and Joshua. They want to stone them. They said, you know, you've dragged us out here, we're going to be killed by these big people. And that's where we are in our lesson. So, would somebody like to read the first?
And how long will it be ere they believe me for all these signs which I have showed among them. Go on. I will smite them with the pestilence and disinherit them, and will make of thee a great nation and mightier than they.
Okay. What did the Lord ask of Moses, and how was this unusual?
He wanted to know how long that the people...
Okay, what did the Lord offer to Moses? Now, I just wonder, I mean, how many people in this world, if they were offered something like that, would they stand up for their friends, or would they say, oh man, make me a great nation? I mean, I just don't know. I'd like to think I would certainly stand up for everybody else, but I have to believe there's people that would say, I'm going to be a big nation. Okay, let's read the next parts.
But Moses was trying to persuade the Lord. Moses knew in his head, if he would bring these people out of Egypt just to destroy them, the word's going to get around, and what kind of Lord is that going to make him?
Right.
That's exactly right.
People doubting that he is all. So,
if God had fulfilled his offer to Moses, would he have broken the promise to Abraham?
No.
All right. Would somebody like to read the next 13 and 14, and which is going to say just exactly what Judy said. That's okay. That's okay. You did good.
And Moses said to the Lord, then the Egyptians will hear it, for by your might you brought these people up from among them, and they will tell it to the inhabitants of this land. They have heard that you, Lord, are among these people, that you, Lord, are seen face to face in your cloud, and your cloud stand above them, and you go before them a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And now, if you kill these people as one man, then the nations that have heard of your saying will speak, saying, because the Lord was not able to bring his people to the land which he swore to them, therefore he killed them in the wilderness.
Well, that's another thing. He led them by day with the cloud, and he led them by night with the fire. And does anybody know why he led them, why he had the fire at night and the cloud by day?
To cover them, and so that the Egyptians could see where they were. And it was a protection for them.
And they could travel by day and night.
Yeah.
So. All right, would somebody like to read the next part? Okay, what two arguments did Moses make to the Lord?
Well, the first one was, people are going to, if you would destroy everyone, say, well, that God is not, didn't take care of them. He is not as strong as the Egyptians.
And it was there amongst them that what destroyed them. They didn't ask Christ. They wanted everything for themselves. If you walk away from Christ, you walk away from everything. Even today, we have the same kind of people.
I hope that we don't complain quite as much as the Israelites do, but I know that sometimes I'm guilty of it. But I don't know. After reading this lesson, I don't know if we do or not, because I just have to think that if, like I said, the raining down food to eat every time, and you know, what are you going to cook for dinner tomorrow? I'm having manna. You know, it's just, but yet when God gave them meat, they ate so much of it, they got sick, you know, that they just.
And you know, the thing back then, they didn't have the word. They didn't have the book. And everything was word by mouth.
They didn't have the word by mouth.
There's no reason, but, you know, I can understand. We have the book. We have the word. We read what happened to them, and we know what's going to happen, and a lot of them still fall.
The problem there is we can preach every day, every come through this book.
But we're not seeing the things. And what does the Bible say about us? It says, blessed are we who believe without having seen.
Right.
They've seen miracle after miracle after miracle. And yet, like, what are we going to do now? And I'm going to tell you guys about a miracle. And it's a simple miracle. Tim and I were, I don't know how long we'd been married, but we'd went to the grocery store and we'd spent our allotted money for the groceries that week. And I got ready to make cereal for the kids and the milk was not in the house. I said, oh no, we've left the milk in the car. And I think this was like in August or something. So we knew the milk would be spoiled, but go get the milk anyway. That milk was so cold that, you know how you see the little dribblets on the side of something? That milk was just as, there probably hasn't ever been better milk. But that to me was a miracle because I could see no logical reason that that milk in that hot car didn't spoil.
That was your manna.
That was, yes. And so I may concern myself with a lot of things, but the milk's going to be okay. Okay.
It's supposed to show you without faith, nothing's possible. With faith, all things are possible.
And even the bad things in life, I mean, just knowing that the God that hung the stars is actually there lifting our heads and holding our hands, I mean, that's mind-boggling.
Well, that's comfort.
It's definitely comfort, but it still shocks me. It you know, it's God takes his time to concern himself with everything we're involved with, the big things and the small things. All right, what did many ancient Near East people think happened when one nation defeated the other? What did many ancient Near East people think happened when one nation defeated the other?
That's how they proved which God was the best. Like Chris said, over in Exodus 12:12, it says that God tells them that he's the only God.
I know you do.
And they would go in and set their idol back up, the other people would, and they'd go back the next morning and it would be laid over again.
Well, it was like when they did the thing with the fire, where they even wet their wood and everything, so that, and they couldn't call down fire from heaven for their gods because they had no real gods. Their gods were just as much wood as what the wood they were trying to burn was. But what happened I can't even remember who it was, but. When Elijah called down fire, I mean, it didn't matter that they had soaked everything, and it just took off blazing. I think it burned it to like nothing. Okay, when had Moses previously interceded for Israel? Yeah, when he went to Pharaoh, and Moses had a problem with going and talking to people. Evidently, he had some sort of speech problem. And God didn't care. He'd chosen Moses, and Moses was supposed to do it, and Moses did it.
Well, he used Aaron then.
Right. Right, he wasn't going to get out of it just because. How did Moses appeal to God's previous revelation?
By their descendants, as the stars.
See, Moses, I mean, God knew that the from the age of 19 and older would not make.
Well, Moses and Aaron didn't even get into the promised land because they struck the rock.
Right.
Yeah.
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 I think there was only two, because they brought back the good report.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They didn't get all bent out of shape over the size of the people. And
yeah. They knew they could do it. They had the faith. The other people didn't.
Well, it's a little bit like that movie that we watched. I mean, there's David, you know, goes out to fight Goliath, and nobody else really wanted to do that, but here comes a little boy with his slingshot and his stones and takes care of the matter. Okay, would somebody like to read the last verses?
See, Caleb, when you had the spirit he had, his understanding from God.
Okay, question 8. How did the Lord respond to Moses' request?
According to,
he pardoned them. It's not the same as letting them off, because every sin will have to have a consequence. Otherwise, you won't grow spiritually, you won't grow in obedience.
And that leads us to question 9. How could the Lord both pardon and punish his people? And, you know, I mean, if you robbed the bank and you said, "Oh, Lord, forgive me. I don't know why I robbed that bank, but I did it, and I'm so sorry." God would forgive you. He would forgive you. But I've got this feeling that when you went before the jury of your peers, you'd be going to jail.
Right. Yeah.
So how could he both pardon and punish his people?
Well, our sins are already forgiven at the cross.
The other people did not die of a plague, but they did not experience the full blessing either. They didn't get to get into the promised land. I think he let Moses see it, right?
Moses got to see it.
But he didn't get to go in. What certain thing did the Lord use to affirm that what he said would come true?
It is better to stand against.
And, it says that, the writer says that he wants, surely, it's, you know, he wants the whole earth filled with his glory. He wants his people to glorify him. And that was one of the main problems, was that every time they looked away because they didn't have something right in front of them, then they started complaining. And maybe we're that way too. If we don't focus on God, it's easy to start complaining and not realize that the same God that brought us out of every other problem we've ever had, the same God that watches over us, is going to watch over us again tomorrow.
And when God says something, it's going to happen. His oath is unbreakable. That was going to happen. Even though he sent them out in the wilderness for 40 years, they didn't get to see. In the end, he brought it to the promised land.
And I don't think that this is like written down as a miracle, because believe me, I looked up miracles that happened in the wilderness and this one wasn't mentioned, but these people wandered around for 40 years and none of them got fat and had to change their clothes into something else, and their clothes didn't wear out and their shoes didn't wear out. That manna must have been like real health food or something. You know, no warning labels or nothing. It just must have been good, healthy food that was good for you. Exactly, exactly. And the quail came from God too, but evidently if you overdid it, it wasn't so good. Well, that is all I have, unless somebody has something that they would like to share with us.
Roman text is, pardon the iniquity of this people and according to the greatness of your mercy, just as you have forgiven these people. from Egypt even until now.
Well, that reminds me that there's practical points were good, too.
Many people do not
give up on prayer when things seem hopeless.
Look upon things you can see, but look upon things you can't see.
And not even things you feel, because sometimes your feelings are just all out of whack. I mean, mine are all out of whack sometimes.
We can appeal to the
promises of God as we pray.
It's a commentary that I like. It said, and emotions derail your faith. It shows us the danger of forgetting God's blessings.
Thank you, guys. And everybody participated a lot, and that helped a lot.
All right, Susie.
I don't even know.